you may be around the world, and thank you for joining us once again on truth2u.org. That's truth2u.org. I'm Jono, and joining me in the virtual Truth to You studio all the way from Ireland is Jason of spiritualbabies.net. G'day, mate.
What's up? Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
So I'm just saying it's winter here. It's cold. It's getting cold. And I know you know what it's like to be cold there in Ireland. And my dog is an outside dog. And she also knows what it's like to be cold. And lately, when I'm down here in the studio, she'll come to the window. She'll come to the door, one of those glass sliding doors. And she'll just sit out there and just quietly...
I've had days like
that. It's cold out here and you look so warm in there. And so I finally, a few days ago, I gave in and I shouldn't have done it, but it was a moment of weakness and I opened the door and I let her in. And I have a rule, I don't do it. Don't do that, but
you're,
I did it.
You're a harsh man. I think dogs should always be inside dogs.
But I think dogs and cats and elephants and everything, goats and all of that should be outside. But she begged me in the cutest little way that she does with her little bug eyes and her little cookie brain, and so it was cold outside, so I let her in. Then she went and snuggled her just as a spare bed down here in the studio as well, and she slinks under the bed. So she's like, okay, I'm in here now, you're not getting me out. And so she is out, and I'm, hang on a second, I'm just going to... Yep, she's asleep under the bed as we speak. Now, the reason why I bring that up, believe it or not, it's kind of relevant to what we're about to talk about.
No, I don't believe it.
It is, because we're going to talk about Caleb.
Oh, I see where you're coming from now, okay.
Caleb means dog.
Right.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
There you go. So I thought I'll start with
the
story.
So we're done. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
That's it. That's all we wanted to tell you today. And thanks for tuning in. And, you know, until next time, I talk about another Hebrew word. But Caleb means dog. That's not the name of my dog. My dog's name is Tameh, which is Hebrew for unclean, just to remind us that we shouldn't eat her.
You are a horrible pet owner.
First, well, that's why we haven't eaten her yet.
Bug eyes and a cookie brain, and it stays outside, and you're unclean, yeah. And I want to remember your place.
You know what? I think I'll put a picture of her on this post.
You should.
Yeah,
a nice she's picture. Yeah, good.
She's like a little squishy little, and her head is smaller than her neck. And so when you put a collar on her, there's no point putting a little lead on because she just slips out.
Are you sure it's a dog and not an armadillo?
No, it's a dog.
Okay.
So we have to get one of those harnesses.
Oh, man.
And she loves it. Where she loves going for walks.
Oh, that's funny.
Besides, it's embarrassing walking her down the street because if we take her for a walk, particularly if Honey and I take her for a walk, like both of us at once, she's beside herself. She's beside herself with joy that she can barely contain it. And she's only the size of a shoebox, and you think she's going to pop like a popcorn. She's so beside herself.
Oh.
And as we walk her down the street, she's like, oh, it's so great. I can't believe it. We're out here together. It's so we're going for a walk. And
but that's what's great about dogs is unconditional love and excitement.
Unconditional love and faithfulness.
Yeah, it's great.
Faithfulness. And that is, incidentally, one of the endearing characters of Caleb in the Bible. Now, the reason why we're talking about Caleb is because it was recent, right? I mean, we're doing the Torah portions and we were talking, we were in Shalak, right? We're Numbers chapter 13 and it talks about Caleb. And I was chatting away before we were recording Torah Pearls. People will remember last Torah Pearls, Tovia and I, we talked about this portion. And I was chatting away with Tovia and I mentioned, you know, it's an interesting thing about Caleb that it says that he's of the tribe of Judah, and yet we know that Caleb is a Kenizzite. And Tovia said, yeah, that's right, he's from Judah. And I said, well, how can he be of Judah and be a Kenizzite? And Tovia's like, well, what is your question? He's of Judah. And I said, yeah, but how can he be of Judah and of Kenizzite? He goes, I don't understand what you're saying. But he's of Judah. And it kind of struck me as odd, and we just continued in the conversation, and we didn't actually mention it in the recording. But I thought, that was a funny conversation. Doesn't Tovia know that he's a Kenizzite who seems to be grafted in to Judah? He's not a native Israelite. He seems to be of a different nationality, and yet here he is representing Judah as one of the 12 spies going into the land. Now, this I found really odd, and I thought, I'm just going to do a little bit of research on this. Why wasn't it obvious to Tovia what I was saying? And this is what we're going to be talking about. And there was a very good reason why it was a non-event in Tovia's mind. But before we do, what is the – how do you understand – because this is what I found out was Jason, was that this perspective that that Caleb is of another nationality and grafted into Israel, this perspective is one that we inherited from our original tradition, where we came from in the church. Tell us about Caleb. What were we told about Caleb, particularly, I mean, look, you know, in the church, I didn't care. I mean, Caleb, what?
Right.
There's a Caleb in the Bible? What? I don't know. It's in the Old Testament, whatever. So, But in the Messianic world, Caleb's really, really important. Why is that?
Yeah, it's true. In the church, you would very rarely hear about Caleb at all. I mean, you really wouldn't. But as soon as you make that move into looking at more Hebrew rootsy stuff, Caleb turns into the superstar, because Caleb is your...
He's the poster boy.
Right. He's your door as a non-Jew into the nation of Israel. Because without Caleb, there's no way to inherit land. And as inheriting land and keeping land is really the core of what the children of Jacob were promised. I mean, they weren't promised a great...
Because it's the inheritance of the children of Israel.
That's exactly it. And I mean, they weren't promised a life of poverty, but happiness. They were promised a land of milk and honey. And that's an inherent physical thing that goes only through the 12 tribes of Jacob, the people of Israel. And Caleb allowed people like me who don't have a Jewish ancestry to feel connected and to feel that I was entitled, I was adopted, if you like, into that family.
There it is. You were grafted in.
Oh, you totally. That's exactly the picture that is mirrored.
If I can borrow from Paul in the book of Romans.
Yeah.
Exactly, so really, that's right. And so based on that theology that Paul gives the church, Caleb becomes the poster boy for an individual not of Israel who is, quote-unquote, grafted in to Israel. Now, the understanding, the way that people come to this conclusion is, I believe, as follows. And I'd love to hear, you know, if I get this, if you've heard something different, folks, please leave it in the comments. Would love to see, you know, various perspectives. But my understanding is this, and this, by the way, one of the reasons why we're doing this program is because this very, what I'm about to vocalize to you is something that has been portrayed on the program on, you know, very recently you and I touched on it.
Mm.
And this is why we felt the necessity just to make a correction or at least offer another perspective so that you have information to evaluate.
Yeah,
so,
can I just jump in there quickly? Because that's quite important. We do a lot of shows together and apart with different people. And often people will say, you know, great teaching. And it's really great that you did this teaching. But for us, we're walking down this road and we're learning stuff as we go and we're sharing what we learn. And sometimes we get to share what we learn with the teachers as we learn it. So when we do shows with different rabbis, most of the time, this great stuff that you're learning for the first time, we're kind of getting for the first time as well. So what
wasn't I excited when I contacted you earlier this week?
My Skype message is like, where are you? Wake up. Why aren't you awake? Yeah. Come on. What's going on? Wake up. Man, I have to talk to you. My head's going to explode. Mind blown.
I was beside myself because I love learning something new.
Right.
I thought I had truth. I thought I knew something. And then all of a sudden, information came to hand when I started looking at this. And I thought, oh, my goodness, maybe this is not actually the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a little thing at first, but it actually changes the way you view a whole lot of stuff throughout the Tanakh. So you're going to enjoy this, boys and girls. So what happens is the way that this is done is that there is an assumption made that the Kenizzites, who are mentioned, incidentally, in Genesis chapter 15 as inhabit a nationality, if you like, a people or a tribe of people that inhabited the land of Canaan, somewhere in there, at some stage, you read about them in Genesis 15, some stage moved down, or at least part of that clan, some of those people, Kenizzites, moved down to Egypt. They were in Egypt. They got somehow caught up in the slavery of the Israelites, whatever. They seem to, at least some of them, came out of Egypt with the Israelites and, part of the mixed multitude, if you like, that we read about in Exodus. And somewhere along the line kind of, you know, connected themselves to Judah till finally Caleb, who is referred to as being of the tribe of Judah and yet also being referred to as a Kenizzite, sort of makes his way to being a leader, no less, or a man highly respected, so that he actually becomes the representative in the 12 spies for the tribe of Judah. Now, we can be forgiven, I think, Jason, for coming to that conclusion. When it was told to us, when we were in the Hebrew roots, messianic world, transitioning from, out of the church into where we are now, mm-hmm. we were told that, and it was backed up with scripture. And when it's backed up with not just one verse, but two, even three, mm. well, you can feel pretty confident with that, right?
Yeah.
The first thing we read, of course, as I mentioned, Numbers chapter 13, verse 6, it says, when we talk about those who were chosen to be the spies, respected men from that tribe, representing each tribe, it says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 6, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now, the next time we kind of hear about, or next time we're given a little bit more information in regards to Caleb and his ancestry, it's Numbers chapter 32, verse 12. Numbers chapter 32, verse 12 refers to him as Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. And we're like, oh, the Kenizzite. Well, we know about them. We know about them from Genesis chapter 15. They're a Canaanite tribe. Also in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, it refers to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Also in Joshua chapter 14, verse 14, does the same, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. There's three verses that refer to him as the Kenizzite. Case closed.
Right.
I was happy with that. You were happy with that. We had the verses. We had Genesis chapter 15, and it all made sense. But it always, I have to admit, I don't know about you, but I always thought in the back of my mind, why is Caleb this anomaly? Why is he the only example that we have of somebody being, quote unquote, grafted in to Israel, who is not originally, not genetically of Israel? And he inherits land, of course. And why is he the only example? I thought that a little bit odd. Well,
but you didn't check, right?
Isn't
that funny that we totally accept that Judah, the biggest tribe, would send in as its representative and its judge of what's happening as a spy, a non-family member. But we totally accept that as true.
That would, well, I had no reason to question it, right. and I didn't question it. And it is a little bit odd now that you think about it. And also that the Bible refers to him as someone of Judah. How can he be of Judah and a Kenizzite? Now it is kind of odd. And we know that he inherits Hebron and that whole area. So what is going on? Well, there is another option. And I didn't come across this until I was talking to Tobia. And this, what I thought was a really significant verse to him, was kind of like a non-event. And we've got a lot to talk about. I mean, it's a huge Torah portion. Let's move on to this and that. And we got so many. And I thought, okay, so we moved on. And I thought, I have to revisit this in my own time. The next day, this is what I found. There's another perspective. And I went to, I went to that great source of knowledge, Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So I looked up Caleb and son of Jephunneh, and this really caught my attention. I thought, oh, wow, there's something more to this that I am totally not aware of. And in the contents of Wiki, there's a thing called the Kenizzite hypothesis. And I thought, oh, wow. So this is actually a disputable. There's more to this. It's not so straightforward. It's not as straightforward as I thought it was. There's a Kenizzite hypothesis. Having looked at the Kenizzite hypothesis, I thought, well, I'm not going to settle with, what Wikipedia says. I'd like to have some more. I'd like to have some more references. So I'm looking through my study Bibles, and I'm looking through some commentaries. And there's really not a lot on it in Jewish commentaries and Jewish study Bibles. There's not much to go on. Why? Because it's not really. It's a non-event, and there's a reason why. I found one note from Rashi. Have you got it there?
I have, and this is something I wanted to say. We're always telling people not to really trust their translation, and we always kind of ask people to check amongst a few different Bibles. Now, what's kind of interesting is a Jewish person that was studying this would never come to the same conclusions we have. And why? Because there's a huge group of sages and of rabbis who have done all the hard work for us. And so when we look at the concordances in our Christian texts, we accept that as what the truth is. But really, we should be looking at the concordances of the people that own the text. And yeah. So this is what Rashi says for Numbers, where are we? 32:12.
32:12.
And he says underneath, and this is the verse, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Kenizzite, he, Caleb, was the stepson of, wait for it, Kenaz. Can we see where this is going?
Kenaz! Kenaz!
To whom
Caleb because just, Kenaz was his stepfather.
Right. And not only, so you might think, you know, I'll be brutally honest. If I was listening to this show 7 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, that's Rashi. Like, where does it say that in the text? Prove that to me. So Rashi gives us a Talmud reference that we can go and look. Sotar 11b, if you want to go and look. But he also gives us a nice straight out of the Bible.
He does. And it's Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 13. What does it say?
Oh, that's not the one I have. All right, there are two then. I've got...
Oh, okay. What have you got? No, let's... What have you got?
What have I got? Judges 3:9. So let's go and... Why don't you look at yours and I'll look up mine and...
All right, let's put all this together. I've got a few here. So what I have, actually, I'm looking at the stone edition, the Art Scroll Tanakh, and the note on that, which is obviously a note from Rashi, is the Kenizzite Caleb, because Kenaz was his stepfather, and then it says in brackets, it says, see 1 Chronicles 4:13. Now, what it says in 1 Chronicles 4:13 is, the sons of Kenaz were Otniel and Seraiah. The sons of Otniel were Hattat, and on it goes. And you think to yourself, well, why is that relevant? Why are they giving me that verse? Well, Otniel... If we go to Judges chapter 1, verse 13, it says, and Otniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, so he gave, so on and so forth. But it says, Otniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. That's Judges chapter 1, 13, Jason.
Yeah, and if you go to Judges 3:9, it's going to tell you that when they cried out to the Lord, he raised them up a deliverer, Otniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them.
And so what it's saying then, and what I now believe it is saying, is that Caleb is a Kenizzite. Why? Because his stepfather is Kenaz. Therefore, that family, as we often see throughout the Tanakh, that a prominent family within the tribe is referred to as, I wanted to make your Hebrew name Mushi. And right. There was the Mushites, right? But they and there were also the Gershonites, and there were all these different ites. Levites. They were all Levites.
We have the Torah portion of Korah, right?
The Korahites.
It doesn't end well for Korah, spoiler alert. But when we go to Psalms, there are still a whole ton of Korahites.
Yeah, that's true. And so what we have here, because Caleb's father-in-law, the father of his younger brother Otniel, is Kenaz, therefore he is included in that clan of the Kenazites. And yet there is the distinction made, because in actual fact, Caleb's father was Jephunneh. We don't know what happened to him. Maybe he was just older and he died. We don't know, but he's out of the picture by this stage.
How does the Wikipedia Kenizzite hypothesis, how does that
finish? The Kenizzite hypothesis in Wikipedia does end with this option. Perhaps the name Kenizzite in this case derives from some ancestral Judean family head named Kenaz. Or perhaps, well, we just read that it does. Oh, now, by the way, that's the thing. Caleb's grandson is also named Kenaz. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 13-15. The sons of Kenaz were Otniel, and so on and so forth. Then it says in verse 15, the son of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, were Iru, Elah, and Naam. The son of Elah, which is Caleb's son, was Kenaz. That runs in the family. So he was obviously, Kenaz was the man. I mean, he was a respected leader of his family, and his clan, his family, if you like, were known as the Kenizzites. So it's not the same as the actual Canaanite tribe of Kenizzites that we read about in Genesis chapter 15. How about that?
This makes much more sense to me, because the alternative, now I've moved on from where I am when I look back at what I thought, what I was willing to believe, is that God made a promise to Abraham, which was fulfilled through two generations of his family. We finally end up with Jacob, and he's told that he's going to be a fulfillment of the promise regarding the people and the land and the descendants, and he has 12 sons, and that one of those sons wasn't good enough. And so they got an adopted son to come in and stand for an actual physical son, because he's more faithful, he's more trustworthy, and he's going to give a... a better response and a better person to represent Judah than Judah themselves. That's what we're asked to believe, which is exactly what they ask you to believe in the New Testament text, that Judah's not good enough and that a foreigner has to come in and do that for you. You're not good enough. A foreigner, a different person to you, has to come in and do it for you because you can't. But that totally destroys the promise that God gave to Abraham. The only way that Caleb fits into that is if Caleb is of the tribe of Judah. If he isn't, then he's not entitled to anything that he's been given.
That's right. And you have to ask yourself the question, why is Caleb the sole example? Why is he the poster boy of the Messianic movement, if you like? Secondly, why does the Bible repeatedly refer to him as someone of the tribe of Judah? And thirdly, did you know his stepfather's name was Kenaz? Mm. And that Othniel is also a Kenazite. Why? Because his father's name is Kenaz. And Othniel is his younger brother. I mean, is it possible that Caleb is a Kenazite of Genesis chapter 15? That somehow, and I don't believe we have a text that says that some of the Kenazites of Genesis 15 went to Egypt, got wrapped up in that whole affair, and came out with Israel. All of that is, my understanding is, that is all an assumption. I don't believe we have any text that says that actually happened, and that because they came out with the mixed multitude, therefore they are grafted into Judah. Why? Because they got some friends in Judah. What? I don't know. But is that a problem? There's a lot of assumption that has to be made there. Or do we just believe what the Torah says? Caleb is of Judah. Caleb's father-in-law is Kenaz. Caleb was a Kenazite, but his father was Yefunneh. But they're all of Judah.
So why don't we just quickly, I remember when you spoke to me about this last week, you rang up and you said, okay, look, who are the people who were grafted in, if you like, the famous, the three amigos who were grafted in, and I said Caleb and Ruth and Rahab. Right. So Ruth and Rahab both left the lands that they were in, and through marriage, their families attached themselves to Judah, which is perfectly legitimate way. They weren't adopted in as much as they married in. So the other option would be that Caleb married in. But if Caleb married in, it wouldn't allow him the same privileges as the text allows Caleb to be a leader of the people.
Now, I know there's a lot of listeners that are going, oh, yeah, we knew that. And it's probably because you had a Jewish upbringing. But Jason and I came from the church. And for us, this was actually a really big thing because it changes, it actually concretes even more the covenant, the promise that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes thereof. So, for me, I just find this really huge. Mm. And one last thing that I wanted to throw into the mix. It was a couple of Torah portions ago that you and I mentioned Hobab, and that's Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. It says, now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, that's Yitro, right? It says, we are setting out from this place which the Lord said, I will give you. Come with us, and we'll treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And so Hobab said to him, I'm not going to go. I'm going to depart back to my own land and to my relatives. And so Moses said, please don't leave. Inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes, and it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be, he emphasizes, that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. And, you know, it's true that one law shall be for Israel and those who sojourn with Israel. But it's worth mentioning that Hobab doesn't say here whether he's going to stick around or not. But we do find out later in the book of, Judges chapter 1, verse 16, it does say, now the children of the Kenites, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of Palms with the children of Judah. That doesn't say that they are of Judah. Oh. It distinguishes them as the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies south, and so on and so forth. But it says that that they were still there. Therefore, obviously, Hobab stuck around. Good on him. But they're not grafted in, so to speak. They don't become of Judah. They're still their own people, but they are dwelling with, quite happily, mutually so, with the Judahites.
You can't have one law for the Israelite and one for the sojourner. if this sojourner is an Israelite.
Because there it is.
I mean, the text is clearly making a definition and a change between the two. If the sojourner instantly became the Israelite, then there would be a line of text that said, there is only one rule for the people that live within the boundaries of Israel. That's not what it says. So, wow, man.
How about that?
This was meant to be 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know. So I know there's a lot of people that are just going, oh, duh, we already knew that. But I didn't know that. And I was really excited when I found that out, because I love finding out things that I thought I knew. And lo and behold, it's nothing like that. So this is what I'm now sticking with. I apologize for saying otherwise in the past on the program, and you may still find programs that express that. But I'm sticking with this now. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. This, it feels as if the goalposts have been put back where they should be. That's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like. So, thank you, Jason of SpiritualBabies.net. What's going on in SpiritualBabies.net land?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm nearly finished pre-recording a series on Jonah. We've gone through Jonah with Rabbi Federer, and I've just started a series with Rod Reuven Bryant from Native.
Rod, yeah.
Yeah, Rod, sound guy. And you're going to find lots of good stuff, so go over to native.net. He's got some awesome stuff over there. Awesome. But I've just started at least a five-part video series with him where we go through, actually, it's quite related, but we go through all of the instances in the Torah where the Ger, the nations, interact or live within the boundaries of Israel or on the edges of Israel, and we try and define who those groups were. So, it all rolls together.
That'll be all rolls together, so definitely do that. That's on spiritualbabies.net. Oh, we're going to be in the land, by the way, really, really soon. What is it? Is it less than 5 months?
It is. It's flying by.
It's flying along. We've got about 5 months left. We're going to be in Israel, November, on the Tanakh Tour of Israel. Tovia Singer will be there. We'll be there. And I'm just telling you now, there's just five seats left. Five seats, people. They're going to go really quickly. There's only five left. We're filling the bus, and we want you to come with us. So if you would like to join us on this remarkable, unique, exciting experience, this tour of Israel, then you need to get in quick and put a deposit on and secure your place. You can do that at truthtoyou.org. Just follow the links, truthtoyou.org, and we'll see you with us in November. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's going to be way cool. And now, we did fill the bus, and then we got a bigger bus, but there won't be any bigger buses. We're determined as well to just stick to one bus, so there's no breaking up of groups or traffic issues. So this is it. Five seats.
Boom. Five seats left. Get in quick. Love to see you there. Until then, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.